And we are live for the 150th episode of the Bronx Bomber Babble podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I am your host, Matt Lozaluigi, and tonight it's Andrew, Alex, and I. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. How are you doing, Luigi?
It's the All-Star break, man. We don't have to watch the Yankees. So we're
doing we get almost a week off. We're happy with that.
Wow, thank God. A little week off from the Yankees. Currently recording this during the Home Run Derby. And yeah, this is the mid-season review podcast. Emphasis on mid, because right now, thought of that one myself. Thank you very much. But right now, right, the Yankees are currently a fourth-place team. They are one game, and keep in mind, you know, obviously context matters. They are in the toughest division in baseball, right? They're in a division where all five teams are well above 500, so that, you know, that does matter. However, they're one game away from being in last place. They're one game out of a wild card spot as it stands today, behind Houston and Toronto. And it's been a really bad season, to say the least, man, for a team that, you know, was the AL East favorites coming into a season. I believe their Vegas win total was at about 93.5. So a team that was projected to win 93, 94 games, right, is now on pace for around 86 to like 88, right? And, you know, you go through the season, you know, April, if you include the opening day, they had one game in March, they were 15-14. Then in May, they're, you know, 19-10. Judge has a great month. They're the best team in baseball. It's great. But then they go 11-12 in June, and now they're 4-6 in July. You know, if you take out May, this has been just an average to bad baseball team. You know, you take away the month where Aaron Judge was your MVP and the best hitter in baseball, it's been a really bad product. And, you know, we see obviously the big news that happened last night. You know, Dylan Lawson, Yankee hitting coach, relieved of his duties, fired. It's literally the first time that's happened in the Cashman era in over 20 years, you know, pretty significant. You know, all those, like, obviously the Yankees have had, most of those have been very good years, but the fact that that's never happened before is just, you know, under the Cashman reign, obviously, is unbelievable. And yeah, like, it's really, like, you know, we've done this podcast and we've been on Twitter throughout the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years throughout this kind of Boone, Judge era, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, especially over the last few years, we've been pretty negative. And, you know, it's not like we're going to take like a victory lap, because, you know, we want to see this team succeed. We hate coming on here and just complaining about the team. But, man, like, it's just, like, we said all of this shit, man. Like, we literally said all this shit. We said, man, this team needs another bat. Like, I don't think Judge is going to hit 62 home runs again. Like, what's this team going to do? And did we think it would be this bad where, you know, their top, like, three qualified hitters, in terms of, like, a not including, should I believe Judge is now just below the qualified numbers because he missed enough time, are all hitting like below 250. It's really bad. And like I said, they're still just a game out of playoff spot. They could still, you know, make a playoff spot, but that shouldn't be the goal. So, I mean, it's like, guys, where do we even begin tonight? It's kind of just tough to even like start at one place, but I think you really have to start with the offense, because that's kind of been the story of the season, is how awful the offense has been.
Yeah. I've been saying it since honestly the second half of last year, because they had a great first half last year. Like, we were talking about it before, where at the All-Star break last year, they were 61-23. They had one of the best records like in their history at the All-Star break. They were on pace. I'm pretty sure they were on pace to have like 100, in between 110, 115 win season, something like that. And then they crashed back down to earth, and we remember just how brutal August was. And the problem with that, and that had with the whole roster construction of the second half of last year that then bled over into this year, is that they seem to be banking on every single person they bring in having a career year. Because you look at last year, Rizzo hit 30 home runs. Judge obviously had one of the best seasons of all time. Cole was great. And that's kind of where it ends. So it's infuriating to watch, because they bring in these guys these, you know, washed up veterans. Like, they got DJ Donaldson. You can list everyone. It doesn't matter. And they just try and say, yeah, they're going to be better. We believe in them. We know we can do other better things, blah, blah, blah. And just try and hit us with this blind optimism that we see right through. Like, even yesterday, Boone said, yeah, you know, the first half didn't go as well as we wanted it to, but now we're just setting ourselves up to do something special the second half. And if you watched this team at all in the first half of this season, you know there's nothing coming. Even if Judge comes back, this team is so much further from being a World Series contender than getting Judge. And even if you get Judge back, you don't know what shape he's going to be in because of his injury. So, yeah, I don't know what to say at this point. It's just, it's so different watching the team this year because we actually had, we knew going into this year that it was going to suck. And watching the team for the past 4 months, we've realized, yeah, they suck. Everything that we said before the season that was going to go wrong with this team is going wrong. You know, they don't have enough pitching depth. Their offense is going to be shit. Their coaching is bad. It's like every problem is showing itself off now. And it makes it look worse because Judge has been out. So
the worst part about everything, the way the team is constructed, is just the assurance that the front office had, that the coaching staff promised us that these old washed guys could still be their peak selves, right? Like Donaldson as MVP, Rizzo's hit 30 home runs like 6 or 7 times in his career. DJ won 2 batting titles and was otherworldly in 2019 when he didn't, right? His first year with the Yankees. Gleyber Torres, we know, juice ball era, hit 38 home runs that 1 year. Like, not that he's an old washed veteran. He's still fairly young, right? It just, we know what these guys are capable of and we know what they're bringing to the ballpark on a nightly basis. And the front office and the coaching staff continue to lie to us, and we've talked about how we were gaslit the whole offseason and even during season, just promising us, the fans, that these guys are better than what we see with our own two eyes on a nightly basis. And Alex, like you said, it goes beyond them having spotty starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole. Getting back Rodon helps, sure, but how much if you're not scoring runs? Defense is really, really sloppy. They make a lot of outs on the bases. Fundamentally, they're just all over the place. They're such a poor product to watch. And even with Aaron Judge, it wasn't really a great team. Now, he could do some otherworldly things that could carry you to wins, which we saw in the month of May. And if that's your roster construction, if that's your DNA, that you need an MVP-level player to take you from being mid to playoff contention, maybe that works for some people, right? Like, we saw the Atlanta Braves win the World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr. We're not doing that, right? We're not getting production from everyone else other than our superstar when the superstar is out of the lineup. And I have a hard time buying into anything they can do in the second half other than just repeat the first half. Like, is Sean Casey, the new hitting coach, going to make a big difference? Maybe. I hope he does. It's a 3-month tryout, right? They haven't extended him a contract beyond this season. I really do hope he can come in and change the offensive identity and earn himself an extension and really start changing the culture of what we do on offensive standpoint outside of Judge. But what else do we really expect from this team? Gerrit Cole is going to be awesome. Rodon looked pretty good in his first outing. If he gets to where he needs to be and stays healthy, he's going to be great. And then, like, maybe Stanton gets hot. I don't know. There's really not much other upside on the roster currently outside of some of the young kids stepping up their game or big trade acquisition, which to this point, there haven't been any rumors. So I don't feel good about the state of the team right now, nor their playoff prospects at this point.
Yeah, I think Stanton is too talented to not somewhat bounce back. And, you know, I know I sound like the Yankees front office saying that, but, you know, he's never been a guy who hits 200. You know, last year he did because he was injured, and this year he's done because he's been injured. But like when he's healthy, he's a solid hitter. And I don't think he's healthy right now. And, you know, obviously the Yankees are playing him as if he's healthy, but I think it's much more likely that something's wrong with him physically than him just dropping off the face of the earth. And the same type of thing with Rizzo. Like he tweaked his neck or back or something around this time of the series in Seattle. And he hasn't been the same since then. He hasn't hit a home run in like a month. So he's obviously not healthy. And, you know, those two guys are the ones that I think can be better. Everyone else, they're what they're going to be. Donaldson has been worse than he was last year, which everyone saw coming. Glaber has been what Glaber has been for the last few years. You know, someone like IKF and Bader and DJ, they're not going to do anything special. DJ especially has been, you know, this is the worst year of his career. Volpe, the one person I will say is Volpe's been much better, but everyone knows that because of the whole chicken parm thing, which I don't even want to get into because.
Well, look, that was a perfect, that might be a good segue into the Dylan Lawson thing.
Yeah.
You look fair. At a volatile, high ceiling young prospect who was struggling to find his footing in his rookie season, had to go to dinner with a double-A teammate from last year who said, hey, look, I'm noticing these things on TV and you're doing XYZ with your swing. Right? His hip was flying open. His hands were getting a little frisky, right? Where the hell is the hitting coach? Like, this is the same hitting coach who basically said, I don't give a shit about our rankings in all these analytics. Which, like, that's literally what the organization paid for. Like, I don't care. Right? What was the quote? I don't give a shit where we rank in
offensive standings. Yeah, compared to
it's the like, other dude, teams. Your job is to make the offense better, to get the best out of your hitters. If you don't care that they're all failing, that's a reflection on you. Do you not care?
I think his like message behind that was he doesn't care where they rank compared to other teams because he just wants them to be the best team they can possibly be or whatever.
Because he knows that they have a higher ceiling.
Exactly.
And you look where their ranking is today is not indicative where it will be later in the year. But yeah, like you clearly not.
Like the Braves, they're obviously going to be a better offensive team than the Yankees are. So you compare it to compare the two isn't fair. And the same with comparing to the A's, like you said. But it just, that quote in hindsight looks so bad when the Yankees for the past month have been the worst offensive team in baseball.
Worse than Oakland, worse than Kansas City, worse than Colorado. That's a problem.
It's just like images that precede unfortunate events. Exactly. Like that quote. I believe the number
the
was.
The chicken farm thing, I think the Yankees saw that and then Volpe made the changes and closed his stance up. And I don't think they took any stock in that at first, but once they saw Volpe starting to actually get results from that and actually start
had
playing
to be the
better,
nail in the coffin.
That exactly that had to be. That had to do it because they went, wait, that did it. He's actually playing well now, as opposed to, you know, the month before that where he was one of the worst players in baseball offensively. Like that had to have been. They were like, what was Lawson doing? You know, and that was our first reaction. Everyone in BBB, the minute that came out, that Volpe had dinner with Wells and helped him fix his stance, everyone went, what the hell has Lawson been doing, man? Like, that's your job. You should not have to be eating dinner with a minor league friend, who, by the way, is 24 years old. We can get into the whole Yankees not having any sense of how to develop prospects, but let's not do that. Yeah. We've already talked about that.
I'll be another.
But it's just looking at this team right now and just all the complaints we have, it's so exhausting because the last few years, we've known they were not good enough to win a World Series. We knew. You look at them last year, they made it to the ALCS last year. We knew they weren't going to beat the Astros.
I think we thought there was, well, we knew that we didn't stack up well against the Astros, right? Yeah. They didn't lead in a single inning in the entire regular season series.
Yeah.
But on paper, could they have gone toe-to-toe with that Astros team? Yeah, like there were opportunities in games one and two where they could have stolen at least one of those mm-hmm. games. But we knew they had the lead in game four at home, and they pissed that away when Nestor got hurt and had to leave early. Like, did we know definitively that we were going to get swept? Or were we going to get run out of the building by the Astros in the ALCS last year? I don't think so. I think we had an inkling that it probably wasn't going to go in our favor. I don't think we thought we were going to get cleaned out like that, though. And there was a chance that the team that dominated the league in April and May and early June would have shown up again. But
I think that mindset is the exact reason that the front office was so okay with the way the season ended last year.
They used the injuries, right? No DJ, no Benintendi. So we can just run it back without those. Like, Benintendi left in free agency, so you can't use that excuse. Like, clearly you weren't good enough without him last year. What makes you think that just entering another season with him on a different team now mm-hmm. is going to be any different than what you saw in that series?
It just amazes me. Like, I think I forget who had the tweet, Andrew, but it was someone like laid it out where I think it was. And it was in an article. I think it was like Kirshner, whoever. But they basically said they laid it out. And how? They basically, well, you went into a year with two catchers that can't hit, an aging first baseman, two third basemen that were both aging. Right. That one was literally awful last year and the other had injuries all year. Right. A rookie shortstop. And, like, really, you think to yourself, oh, wow, it's not working out. Like, it was so obvious. And obviously it's so easy to just speak in hindsight and to say, oh, well, now that it's happened, look at how bad it. But it was so obvious to tell anybody who knew baseball.
The second the calendar turned to this new year, we were just sitting here like, all right, what else are they going to do? Because there was the quote of, we're not done yet, after they signed Rodon. And then they did nothing.
They were very done.
Yeah.
And really, you just look. Hang on.
Andrew, you're muted.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So we all knew, right? We're all three of us are obviously all Yankee fans. But we all know baseball, right? And we all can take our Yankee hats off, take a step back and say, huh, this roster just isn't it, right? And, like, look, even last year, right, like we said, even though we got swept, that roster could have, you know, done something. That roster wasn't, like, a terribly constructed team. But now, really, going into this year, where you brought all the, like, running it back is something you do with, like, a younger team. When you have an older, kind of aging team, and that team kind of just, you know, gets swept in the ALCS, you usually don't run it back. Usually you kind of maybe retool. You maybe, you know, ship out some of those older guys, try to get some out. Like, the fact that they thought after that performance in the ALCS that it was a good idea to just run back, but basically the same team. And, it, like Andrew, you said, it wasn't even the same team because, like, they didn't have Benintendi in the playoffs, so they used that as an excuse. And then you don't even bring him back, so that goes null and void. But really, considering the fact that you had Aaron Judge last year, who had literally the best season since early 2000s Barry Bonds, right? You knew you weren't getting that again. And really, here we are. Yeah, but
you know what they probably leaned on? They probably said, well, Judge had an MVP regular season, broke the American League single season home run record, and then disappeared in the playoffs. So if we get a decent team in the regular season, Aaron Judge isn't going to play like that shit level again in the playoffs. If he plays well in the playoffs, we're scary. And that's a really dangerous and risky way to enter a season, especially, like, to Alex's point, right? They talked about, we're not done yet. And to their credit, maybe they did try to make trades. Like, maybe they made a concerted effort for a guy like Sean Murphy. Maybe they tried to trade for a younger third baseman. Maybe they tried to offload DJ, for all we know. I don't know. The point of the matter is, they ended up not doing anything, again, for lack of effort, or they just couldn't come to a deal. And look, this is where we are, right? The team is no better today than it was arguably 2 years ago. In fact, at this point, we're probably worse.
I would argue we're definitely worse, yeah.
And now you're stuck with all these old bloated contracts that aren't going anywhere, particularly Stanton. That's why you need to get something from him. And DJ is gonna hurt them. Now it's only $15 million or whatever it is, AAV. So that's palatable.
It's not a lot, but you look at DJ and it's like, he's been such a nothing this year. He's had no power. He's hitting 220. He's not getting on base. It's like, with Stanton, at least you can live with the fact that occasionally he hits a 406,000-foot home run. Right. Like he did the other day. He hit two home runs. Occasionally he's going to run into one. So even if he goes out there towards the end of his contract and he's hitting 215, he's still going to pop 15 to 20 home runs if he's healthy. You can live with that. With DJ, you can't live with that because he doesn't have the power. You know?
Yeah, 643 OPS this year. I mean, if you look at the Yankees, just like their OPS, I mean, obviously Judge was at a 1.078. He was phenomenal. But other than that, I mean, the highest guy is Rizzo, who's at 753 and obviously going down. He'll probably be at like 700 by the end of August at this pace. But it's just brutal. I mean, you have guys. I mean, right now, the guy with the second highest WAR is Anthony Volpe. Like, Anthony Volpe has literally been the best player on this team other than Judge.
And half that is because of the stolen bases impact.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the stolen bases, his defense is, you know, all right for a rookie. But, you know, being a rookie shortstop, isn't easy. You know, not a lot of guys.
Being a shortstop on a team that needs sound defense puts a lot of pressure on him. And I would say he hasn't quite lived up to that, but he hasn't hamstrung us either.
I mean, it really is just, it's unbelievable looking like how bad the hitting is. And like you said, like I said it the other night, and it was kind of funny. This is almost like ominous foreshadowing. I think it was like the game after, because obviously, this was such a weird past 2 weeks, right? It's like they beat the Rangers in a series, right? Then they have those two wins against the O's that were great wins. But then, you know, then they come out against the O's. They're down 13-0 in the fourth inning, right? It's like I feel like that's like the fourth or fifth time this year that's happened, right? It's just honestly pathetic. Like the whole IKF pitching thing is funny, but at the end of the day, it's like, all right, like this is kind of sad that this happens like once every few weeks now. But yeah, like they come out, you know, you beat the O's two games in a four-game set, you beat them two games, you got the momentum, then you come out, fall flat the next two games, absolutely pathetic. Then you lose a series to the Cubs in a game which, especially that Sunday game, I mean, like this is the midseason review, so I don't want to like just break that. But I mean,
that was the worst managed game of Aaron Boone's season.
You take Domingo out up three with one run, one hit. Then he walks a guy for his second base runner of the day. Now the one hit was a home run, right? He's up three and you take him out. Right in the seventh inning, and then the bullpen absolutely implodes. And obviously, people could say, and obviously, you had the Glaber error where there was a double play that Glaber just boots, and it would have ended the inning. And the inning goes on, and they take the lead, and the Yankees lose the game. Now, I mean, people could say, well, I mean, the bullpen's been great all year. Why would boot? I mean, how do you take a guy out with six innings, two base runners, and 74 pitches? It's just
and why with your entire bullpen like, ready we've been to go saying and you're this for years. Seventh inning. Why are you going to Ian Hamilton in that spot? Like, Kainley still doesn't have an earned run on the
last
season.
Last game for the All-Star break. Yeah, you have your full bullpen. Look, we've been complaining about Boone for literally years on this podcast. It's unbelievable that he's still here. And he still does the same things. And something else I want to talk about.
The same mistakes he made
it's
in
like,
year
let's,
one.
Look, let's just, like, get the bullpen mismanagement. We all know about that. We could literally, like, I could write a book about Aaron Boone's, like, terrible bullpen moves, okay? The thing that just really gets to me about Boone and has really like gotten to me about Boone over the last few weeks is just his whole attitude. Like, Andrew, you had that tweet. It's called toxic positivity. And I just can't stand, like, after the Saturday game where they literally got one hit by Jameson Taillon, who had the worst ERA in the National League coming into the game, 6.92. They made him look like fucking prime Greg Maddux up there. After the game, they're interviewing Boone. He's like, oh, you know, like the guys had good swings.
Volpe had some good at bats. Higashioka hit a few balls hard. Like,
It's like, Boone, just come out. You don't always have to say, oh, like, I have a positive spin. Just come out and say, hey, we sucked today. We were terrible. That was an awful. We had two hits all game. That was all. And we didn't score. That was awful. We have to be better. That's all you have to say. Don't try to positive spin everything. Because guess what? Your whole lackadaisical, it's all right. That attitude reflects to the whole fucking team. And you've been the manager for so long now. That's how the whole team is. They're all like, oh, well, whatever. We just got two hits. We'll get them next time. And that's how the whole team's attitude is. And that's why they suck. And that's why you have Glaber making base running error after base running error. You have like it's just like we've said before.
That's the point, dude.
It's not even like they might make the playoffs and they might have like a postseason moment where some fucking scrub 220 hitter hits like a walk off home run and Yankee Twitter turns them into a folklore and then Tampa fucking smokes us 3-0 in the ALDS. Like that's cool, but the product is terrible. It's just a terrible product. They're a sloppy team. They don't fucking hit. Like, it's just terrible. And like you said, like, you watch other young teams. It's like teams like the Reds or teams like the Braves. Teams that are just like, even like the Marlins. Teams that have like young guys who are hungry, who want to play. And like, I sound like a boomer saying that. But it's impossible not to when you have like, you're watching a bunch of mid guys in their mid-30s who are all slow as shit, who are all past their prime. Like, it sucks. It sucks. And like you say, it's like, man, like this is the team that you guys are giving us. Like, really? Like we have like really like that tweet today. It was funny. Like DJ LeMay, you know, it was like the meme of like the guy like smiling and then like frowning. And it was like DJ LeMay, he was like the third highest like batting average among qualified Yankee hitters. And it's like he's hitting .221. Like it's fucking terrible how bad this team is. And like the fact that they're one game out of a playoff spot. And we like we said, we talked about it before. Like most of us in our like our chat think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, and what I'm one of them, but I don't know how. If you ask me, like, hey, how do you think the Yankees right now? They're a game out, and look, the teams are behind are the Astros and the Blue Jays and the Orioles. So I don't think they're not better than any of those teams. So I don't know how they're going to do that.
That's literally it. You can say, hey, they'll find a way to get into the playoffs, but you got to look at this high level. And Alex and I were talking this when you stepped away before the show started. They're going to have to beat Toronto, like regardless, right? That for sure you have to do, because Tampa Bay and Baltimore, barring a gigantic collapse, are both going to get in. One's going to win the division. One's going to be likely the number one wild card team.
I mean, Tampa's lost like seven in a row, and they're still like 5 games up in the division. Like, you know,
right. Yeah. So one of those two teams will win the division. One of those two teams will probably be the top wild card. And then right now, Texas looks pretty comfortable in the West. You know, Houston could get white hot and potentially steal that division, but then one of those two teams is going to be at least the second wild card. And then it's the battle between the Yankees, Blue Jays, Angels, Mariners, but probably the Yankees and Blue Jays
The Red Sox were one game behind us.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know how they get into the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're better than many of those teams. Like barring the Angels selling off Shohei Ohtani and we blow it all up to get him. Maybe that's enough to put us in contention. But even then, that's a rental.
You also have to consider the fact that, you know, they're going to be playing a lot of games against the division. And even with the Red Sox being in last place, you could make a case and say that the Yankees are not better than the Red Sox right now. Red Sox have had our number all year. You know, we went into Fenway and got obliterated the last time we were there. So, like, if the Yankees at some point, you know, by the time they're around the deadline, are in last place, that's not going to surprise me at all. And you know, even if they're in last place on July 28th, they're not going to do the smart thing and trade away someone like Bader, someone, you know, like Herman, someone like Glaber, guys that are have some value that don't have a lot of control left. You know, Bader's a free agent at the end of this year. Herman and Glaber are at the end of next year. So
reload the farm.
Exactly. Reload the farm. Get rid.
But look, we did that. We reloaded the farm in 2016. And what did we get out of it? We got Clint Frazier, who's no longer here. We got Gleyber Torres, who was a flash in the pan his first 2 years and hasn't done much since. Yeah, we got guys like JP Fireisen and
I know the Yankees
Alberto Abreu, we got like what?
Look, I know they've been terrible at developing offensive players, but at a certain point, I do think, like, okay, like, maybe that was just, like,
some point, at some point they're going to run into someone.
That we yeah. got.
Well, like, and the yeah, thing like, is, too, it's not even about getting prospects back. It's about giving the young players they have right now a chance to be better. You look at 2016, yeah, they got back a bunch of players that haven't done much, but 2017, they went the furthest of any Yankees team in the since 2009. So
the year even, after trading off, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that was a product of who they kept.
Yeah. Even if they go and trade people off now, you're looking at next year. Like, I don't think they should look at this year as we need to go for it because we need to win. I think they need to look at this year as a lost year and start preparing for next year, but they're not.
I agree. I agree. You absolutely have to look at it and say, Judge, who the hell knows what you're going to get from him? He yeah. might as well just have the surgery now and come back ready to go next year. Next year, you rid yourself of Donaldson. Maybe you can move Rizzo in the offseason with 1 year on his deal. I don't know, but you're right. You got to look at it as we're going to punt on this year, kind of reset our financial standing a little bit, not a lot. There's still a lot of big money contracts on the books. And then just say, hey, look, we're going to have a better offseason plan, and next year this won't happen again.
And that's the problem. It's like you look at this year, and it's not going to happen. We know how this story ends, you know? But the Yankees front office is so...
Well, they need to keep the seats filled.
Yeah, exactly. They need
to keep, that's the thing. That's
and
why
they know they just start like trading people away. They're not
they
going
can't
to.
Accept, like, if they're like, look, like, even if we know we have to, like, even if that means, like, keeping the seats filled till, like, the end of August, like, they're going to do that. Like, that's all they care about. And, like, look, you see all, it's like, that's the thing that gets me. And I said it the other night, man, like, even without terrible a product they've been, it's like 40 plus thousand there every night. And it's just so frustrating because I'm like, dude, like, stop going to the games. Like, they're this team's
that,
never
dude, that's
gonna learn.
The thing.
They're
you have,
never
you have
gonna
to,
learn, man.
I think like, that's the worst part
so
about
much
Twitter.
Money.
Honestly, that I really think a lot of that
I'm,
is Twitter.
I'm gonna
culture,
go on
right?
a Twitter rant next. Don't even get me
No. Like the amount of people on Twitter who are like famous, Twitter famous, right? Like they probably don't have a lot of friends in their real life, but they have thousands of followers because they post some like fun Yankee tweets or stats or videos or whatever, right? And then they start like, I don't know. Those kind of people who are like addicted to the Yankees because they don't really have much else going on in their life. Like they're the ones buying tickets to go to see 10, 15 games a year. And like, I get that's like your identity, right? Like your
we
sense
all,
of
we
fame.
All love the
and,
we all like, love the Yankees, but no, I look, here's my thing about Yankee Twitter. There's so many people on there that like call you out for being critical about the team. It's like, basically like, oh, well, you're not a good fan.
Thing, man.
You're not a good fan because you're talking bad about the team. Like, I'm a better fan because I'm like, I'm not being critical of them. It's like, no. I'm
here's
a
my
realist.
Shitty positive spin on a bad situation. Congrats.
I'm a realist,
and
okay?
There's a difference between, like, Andrew, we for years have gotten on you because you'll, like, call a game being over when it's 1-0 in the third inning. And, you know, it's just become... like a thing. It's just become a meme within
like a running
our group
joke.
Jets. But
and the ironic thing is that I haven't done it at all this year. And
yeah, I know.
2-0 in the second inning. That game is absolutely
problem,
over.
But the problem
yeah, now it's like,
is,
well, actually, he's right.
There's a difference between being that type of negative and actually being able to criticize what the Yankees are doing. And I like to think of myself as I'm more positive fan than, you know, a lot of people are.
Either of us, for sure. That's
yeah,
fine.
And I've been watching this. First of all, I have not watched that much in the last month or so. And even when I have, I've just been sitting here like, what the hell is going on? Like, you guys have listened to me the last 2 months or so, and I've been so critical of this because this is not the way you run an organization with this payroll. Okay. And you can say the Yankees have all this money and they're spending it, blah, blah, blah. That's why you can't blame Hal for a lot of it. You can blame him for some of it because he's not gonna fire Cashman. He's not gonna fire Boone. He's not gonna make the big move that they need to actually make a difference. But he is still trying. He's still shelling out $300 million a year to try and pay for this team to be good. But the biggest problems is the fact that, and I said this before, the Yankees are still running on the high of making the World Series like seven times between 1996 and 2009. They're still running on we're the Yankees. We're going to be able to pay and get our way in there, and everything's going to work out.
They need to get all those people out of there from that time.
Yeah. Or even three ALCSs in the last 7 years. Like that's part of it too, or last six years.
And they're just riding all this. Yeah, we're the Yankees, we're going to do it, or the playoffs are a crapshoot. Oh, well. Like, all the times that they're saying the playoffs are a crapshoot, we can't control it. How about you go out there and you get guys that are going to help you control it? Because you want to know what's an easy way to actually make sure you win in a crapshoot? Being better than the other team.
You stack and the deck in
Michael,
your favor.
Like Michael Kay said, it's not a crapshoot for Houston.
Yeah.
It's not a crapshoot for them.
There's a reason Houston won the World Series last year.
They know how to win in October.
Yeah. You know, you look at the Phillies. Okay, that was an amazing run. It was a crapshoot for the Braves last year and the Dodgers last year because both of them were really good teams. They got hit by two teams that were just meant to go to the NLCS. But in the long run, you look at the Braves. They're not going to go out this year and lose to an 85-win team. In the NLDS.
They might. They lost to the Phillies last year.
They might, but you're not going to hedge your bets on that. Just like the Yankees are going out there and hedging their bets on the fact that they're going to win. But they look at the Braves and like, oh yeah, we're on the same wavelength as them. You know, playoffs are a crapshoot. But you look at the Braves roster and they have like
the league is caught up to us.
They have Michael Harris batting ninth.
The reigning
side. He's having a bad year, but it's still like, year would still be like our third or fourth best hitter.
Yeah, he had like almost six WAR last year, and they have him batting ninth.
Played half a year and one rookie of the year, and he's at the bottom of the lineup. Crazy.
They have Sean Murphy, who's a legitimate MVP candidate, batting fifth and sixth every night.
To jump off like the Braves. You know, there was like something, I think it was like Bleacher Report posted, like the top 20 jerseys sold this year so far, right? And, you know, the Braves had four guys in there, right? Acuna was one, you know, Olsen, I think Riley was in there.
It was Acuna, Albies, Riley, and Olsen.
Strider,
Albies.
Probably.
No, yeah. Strider wasn't on there.
No, I don't think Strider. Really? But, anyway. So
I think it was 422, so Strider didn't come up until like May of last year.
Yeah. So, anyways, the Yankees obviously only had one, and it was obviously Judge. But it kind of just made me think. And it's not that, like, you know, the old, like, kind of, like, mid, you know, early 2000s Yankees were kind of – it was almost like all, like, okay, like, star power. If you made, like, more than three or four all-star teams, like, you're on the Yankees, right? Like, they were just getting, like, Lance Berkman, like, all these random guys past prime. That was their whole thing. And it's not, like, to go, like, that much into the extreme. But at a certain point, you go, like, man, like, this team has – where are the stars? Like, this team has, like, no stars. Like, it's just a lack of stars. And it really is sad. And it's kind of like, look, we're all, like, you know, me and Alex are in our 20s. And it's like, Andrew remembers, like, the 90s more than we do. But, look, even, like, those early 2000s Yankees. Like, those teams, like, you know, guys like Cano or Giambi or, you know, Johnny Damon, Gary Sheffield. Like, they were just, you know, obviously A-Rod, Jeter. Like, they were just star-studded lineups. And it just isn't like that anymore, man. And like I said, to go back to Twitter, it was so – I was laughing so hard at this the other day. I'm not going to, like, name names or anything, but basically it was like an argument. It was like a week or so ago. It was like an argument going on about, like, the way the Yankees are run, and it was kind of like an older fan. He was saying how, you know, like, this guy's, like, couldn't shine these guys' shoes and blah, blah, blah. And basically this guy comes in and was like, oh, no, like – was kind of talking bad about, like, Robinson Cano, how, like, Robinson Cano and Teixeira, like, weren't that good. Like, that was what it was about. And this guy goes, my brother, you have Gleyber Torres as your cover photo. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're talking about Robinson Cano not being that good. And, like, really, though, it's just unbelievable to me how so many of these, like, young Yankee fans, it's like,
I can't blame them, though.
Gleyber Torres and Didi. And I'm like, these guys suck. Like, these guys had Derek Jeter and Robinson Cano and A-Rod growing up, too. Those
guys
are absolutely
shilling out.
You guys have Gleyber. You guys have an underachieving former top prospect who leads the league in errors among second basemen and gets thrown out in the bases every other game. Like, that's your guy? Like,
dude,
really?
we're from the generation that, like, didn't even appreciate how great Jorge Posada was, because he was just, like, the fifth or sixth best guy on the team. And, like, the kind of production he gave you for 15 years at catcher, Bernie was unreal, won multiple batting titles, switch hitter, middle of your lineup, right? Yeah. Like,
we didn't, like, fully appreciate Cano until, like, 2013, when he was the only good hitter on the team, because everyone else was dead.
One of my younger cousins asked me about, like, because, you know, he's like only 10, so he don't remember Cano. And he goes, was like Cano better than Gleyber? And I was like, boom.
By a like, mile, dude.
I'm like, let me sit down. Like, you got to sit down right there. Let me tell you a story about Cano. And I said, like, look, even with all of obviously, like, he juiced a pop. Like, Cano was awesome. Like, I loved Cano, right? He was amazing.
Hit 320 every year, gold glove, second baseman.
Cano and everyone
even got, I mean, I could go on and on. I could go – even the Yankees that, like, didn't win –
hustling, too. Like, that was the biggest problem with Cano, is that he wouldn't hustle
when
he hit a
ground
ball to the second baseman.
At least he didn't get thrown out in the base.
Now no one does that. Donaldson doesn't run. Stanton can't run.
Yeah.
Hicks wasn't running.
Well, Hicks, special case, he didn't want to play, basically.
Like I said, it really, like, even guys, like, you know, my favorite player when I was, like, a little kid on the Yankees wasn't even, like, it was Alfonso Soriano. Like, that was my favorite.
Mine was
Yankee,
A-Rod,
right?
You know? It's, like, everyone's, we all have favorite players of, like, memories of growing up where you have these, like, star-studded lineups, like you said. And now the Yankees went out and they tried to bring in some, but it's, like, there's a difference between, you know, prime A-Rod and 36-year-old Josh Donaldson. You got to bring.
When we got Josh Donaldson, we thought we got him because he was going to be like the agitator. Like, he kind of rubbed some clubhouses previously the wrong way. And we're like, you know what? Good. This team needs an edge. They're all about your
soft pitches.
I don't
want Donaldson to track me down and kill me for this, but he's a little bitch.
Yes.
That's
straight up.
That's
like,
it.
Sorry.
Like, this guy is running around. He's like, you know, I've seen so many compilations of him bat flipping on easy fly balls to center field. This guy has a 232 on base percentage.
70% of his hits are home runs.
He's strutting around the stadium like he owns the place. Like, my guy, you are hitting 152 in 112 plate appearances this year. Like, this is not an accident that you're this bad. You're just
obviously
old as shit. And you suck.
So obviously, Yankee hitters getting booed over the years has always been a thing. But do you guys, like, ever remember a time where two hitters at the same time were getting just simultaneously booed at, like, Stanton and Donaldson are?
No.
Think about it. Like, have there ever been, like, two hitters in the same lineup at the same time who were, like,
and
one guy where there was, like, A-Rod or...
People would get booed, but it would be for, like... striking at, it'd be for not coming through in a big situation.
Or because fans are mad at the whole team, that's the guy who just happened to be up and killed the rally.
Exactly.
Not they were booed individually.
They are not booed every single at bat because every single at bat they go up there looking to hit a ball 500 feet and instead they hit a pop up to the second baseman. You know? And that's Stanton and Donaldson right now.
So maybe it is all Dylan Lawson, right? Maybe Casey can fix him.
Yeah,
maybe we get something serviceable out of.
Colorado. Well, the funniest shit is their first series is in Colorado. So, like, if there is any time for them to all of a sudden
just break out. Here you go.
Someone was joking. They're like, watch them score like 30 runs this weekend. They're just fucking hitting it everywhere. 12 runs, 10 runs.
But look, they did that in Seattle. Remember? They had those two games that scored 10 runs back-to-back. Granted, that was with Judge in the lineup. That's when IKF was hitting, like, 330 for a week.
Jake Bowers was hitting home runs every day.
That wasn't a real time. Didn't happen. Yeah, like, it really, it's it's like I said, let's kind of just, you know, also something else we didn't mention, obviously, with the All-Star game being tomorrow, Gerrit Cole, American League starter. Congrats on that.
Congrats.
Also the only Yankee in Seattle right now. Very sad. Yeah.
I mean, you know, technically Judge was voted a starter, but he obviously is not going to play because of the injury. But
what did he say in that post? I didn't even read it.
He basically said he was going to take, he wasn't going to travel to Seattle because he wanted to take the time to rehab and get back to the field as quick as he could.
Okay. That makes
sense. You know,
sense.
Just, that's it was, brand it's, for him. Yeah, exactly. And I don't, you know, you can't blame him at all for it. I don't, but it's just, it's a tough look when, you know, Cole's the only one. And it's cool that he's starting because, you know, he's, it's been, he noted that one of, he said before he wanted, he's always wanted to start the All-Star game. So that's cool for him.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we have the first inning and then after the first inning tomorrow, that's it. There's no Yankees playing in the All-Star game.
Like I said, it's just sad, man. Like, you know, you always remember years where it's like, you know, whether it's Stanton, Judge, and Cole or whoever, or, you know, Beers back, Jeter, like, there was always multiple Yankees at the All-Star game. And really, like, there's just one Yankee there, man. It's, like I said, between that and then, like, one Yankee.
It almost seems like they were trying, like, the front office was just trying to build, like, the next great core of guys with Stanton and Judge and Glaber and Gary Sanchez and Cole, and it they just fell flat on their face because they didn't do anything to help that along. It's like they just got all these guys together and went, all right, yeah, so here's the next core of guys that's going to go out and win three of the next four World Series.
Well, look, that's the same thing. Luigi, what was the tweet that basically equated the Yankees this year? Actually, maybe it was Alex, you're the one who brought it up, but it was like the Yankees are – the East Angels.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Like, they basically are. They have two superstars, one pitcher.
They have two of the best players in the league in their primes right now. And
the rest of the lineup
and the rest of the lineup is awful.
Right, like, you have one overpaid aging veteran, like Stanton is equivalent to, like, Anthony Rendon.
You want to know something that is unbelievable that I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at, so there's been 20 guys that have taken an at-bat for the Yankees this year, okay? Of them, Judge obviously has the highest OPS at 1.078. The next highest...
But didn't Luigi already say it's Rizzo at like 770?
No. I'm saying of every person who's taken an at-bat, not just to qualified people.
Oh, so like
the next highest is Greg Allen, who has had 14 at-bats at 884... Then Ben Rortfett at 873, who has had 9 plate appearances.
And what, one double or something like that?
Yeah. And then after that, you just, nobody else has an OPS even close to 800. Jake Bowers is at 782. Like, Bader's at 746. Now he's out for who knows how long. Yeah, exactly. McKinney's at 736. Rizzo, 753. Glaber, 739. It's like, this whole offense is just mediocrity.
And something
meanwhile,
else
Esteban Flores still wastes away in AAA.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Something else I want to talk about. Man, Jose Trevino has been rough this year. I get the framing of the catcher. But
you,
like,
were talking about
All-Stars. 570 OPS, man.
He was an All-Star last year. He was in LA for the All-Star game.
Yeah. Now, the Yankees totally were just trying to emanate how the Astros have Maldonado as their starting catchers, like defense first type of guy. But even then, it's like, at least Maldonado will pop a home run every now and then. The dude has 103 career home runs. Like,
I think he had one each of the last two games of the first half.
Yeah, he did. You're right. Jose Trevino has 4 home runs this year.
Two of those were in April.
Let's look at some of Jose Trevino's stats, okay? He is batting 211, which, sure. Catchers are not going to bat any higher than that. With a 255 on-base percentage, 316 slugging, 4 home runs. He has walked 8 times total. He's only struck out 20 times, which is not bad. But that's because every single thing he hits is a pop-up or a ground ball. Because that dude cannot square a ball up to save his life.
Christ. Side note, Vlad just beat Mookie 26-11 in the first round.
Jesus. Everyone had Mookie going and is like an underdog. And
yep, not, not so much. But yeah, it's like I said, you look at some of these numbers. I mean, Oswaldo obviously before Oswaldo on the year was -0.9 WAR.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, you know,
and he was so good last year.
At a certain point, when there's just like all these guys are doing bad, you just have to look. You're like, all right, something's up. Yeah. Like when all these guys are just doing so poorly. I don't know. Another note. Judge still leads the team in home runs by 6. It's close to. He hasn't played in a month.
Judge still leads the team in position player WAR.
Yeah, position player.
And he's Cole is first, RBIs, obviously. Home runs. You said this before. It's Cole first, then Judge, then Volpe, and then after it's like of the Yankees' top 12 on Baseball Reference, half of them are relievers.
I was gonna King say, is Clay Holmes number 4?
King is 4. King and Clay both have 1.6, so they're at 4 and 5.
How is King so high? He's been really this year.
Canely is 9 because he has 1. Randy Vasquez is 10 at 0.9. Wandy is 0.9. Hamilton is at 0.8. And then you have Rizzo, Bader, and Glaber, who are all like low ones. That's it. And Bader's is mostly on defense because he's popped a few home runs, but for the most part, he hasn't been exceptional offensively.
It's like I said, it's been a brutal product. Really looking ahead to the second half, it's like I said, I don't know how. Do they make a trade? Obviously Cody Bellinger's in there. He just kicked our ass at Yankee Stadium over the weekend. That's a name people have their eye on.
At this point, nothing moves the needle.
Yeah, I mean that's a thing. See, like that's why
nothing they do is going to get the team out of the hole of just mediocrity that they're in right now.
That's why I think they fired Lawson, because what they might be, they said, you know what, we're probably not going to do anything significant at the trade deadline. We need to do something though. So let's fire the hitting coach. Let's just put it on him. Show them that we're serious, that we want to make change. And yeah, we'll see. You know, Sean Casey hopefully does well. Obviously, former teammate of Aaron Boone in Cincinnati. But yeah, it's like I said. I hate coming out here and just being so negative, because then you always have the people saying, like, "Oh, well, they're still over 500. They're still this. They're still." But it's like, look, man, that was. Like, it's crazy because
they're over 500 because of Judge. The 1 month they had Judge healthy was the 1 month they were
And Garrett Cole.
You take out Judge, they're under 500.
It's Judge, Cole, and the bullpen. Like, that's the team. Judge, Cole, and the pen. And everyone else has been pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Severino is just completely broken.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Severino.
We didn't really get into that.
I don't even want to. It makes me sad.
Yeah. It's crazy because, like I said, that month of May was really just like the one kind of the outlier, you know, and you have 3 other months, like if including July, now that they're 4 and 6, that have just been bad. The second half of the season, like I said earlier, starts in Colorado, 3-game set. You know, the Rockies are not that good of a team, right? They're only 34-57. So maybe you could get a series there. Then they play the Angels 3 games. Then they play a 3-game set against the Royals, who are almost as bad as the A's. So, like, there are opportunities for some wins, but, like, at the same time,
you just
drop 2 or 3 to the Cubs. You just drop 2 or 3 to the Cardinals. Like, those are both bad teams, too. And I don't know. And then they have, like, the end of July and in the beginning of August, they have a stretch where you go 3 against Baltimore, 3 against Tampa, and then 4 against Houston.
Yeah, that's so gonna be good.
That's a 10-game stretch.
Looking forward to another August like last year.
That's rough.
That's a 10-game stretch where if they go 3-7, I'll look at that as a win.
After a 3-game series against the White Sox, who beat us earlier in the year, then you have, this is all on the road, a 3-game set against Miami, and a 3-game set against the Braves, and then a 3-game set against the Red Sox. So it's not an easy second half schedule, like over the next month. It really isn't. You have the Orioles, the Rays, the Astros.
If you can break down every extended stretch into individual nights, right? Just like a single game at a time. Could they win on any given night against any of those teams? Sure.
Yeah.
But something's going to have to change dynamically with this team. Yeah. Like the culture is going to have to flip fast. You're going to have to get starting pitching consistently, like 6-7 nights in a row. You're going to have to get the bullpen back to where they were before the hiccup this past weekend. You're going to need more than Aaron Judge, even if he's even in the lineup at that point hitting. So I don't even know if if who's on the schedule matters anymore, because we lost 2 out of 3 at home to Chicago this past weekend. A few weeks ago, they beat Texas 2 out of 3. So,
yeah.
Who the hell knows anymore?
Who the hell knows? But, yeah, guys, if none of us have any final thoughts.
I'm going to bed after this. I'm exhausted after complaining.
Yeah,
complaining
takes a lot out of you, got to admit. But, yeah. Like I said.
I'm so tired all the time.
That's right. We'll probably be back next week, you know, maybe after the Colorado series, you know, depending on if there's anything significant to talk about. You know, first series with the new hitting coach, maybe there's changes. But like I said, it's a tough series to judge because they're playing a terrible Colorado team in Colorado, right? So it was just like the same thing against in the Oakland series. Like when people were like, oh, this is going to ignite Stan and us. I'm like, bro, they're playing the worst team. They're playing a historically bad team. Like, let's not like jump to conclusions. And yeah, sure enough, nothing changed. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, like I said, look, man, it would be so awesome just for this team to prove us wrong and for them to come out in the second half and to find something in Stanton. And it's hot. And like, you know, it's like, that's the thing. I'd have to go on like 5 minutes to list all the things that would have to happen for this team to get hot. You know, it's frustrating, but you know, we'll see. We'll be here as it unfolds. And for Luigi, for Andrew, for Alex, this was the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. We'll see you guys next time.